I encourage you to get your pen and notebook ready to write some things down. And as you are getting your pen and notebook ready, after that, turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Again, I encourage you guys, those of you here, those of you watching, it's always a good idea to make sure that you have something to write with and something to write on, even if it's just one piece of note paper in your Bible, because sometimes you do, well, I think you'll need to write some things down. But in Isaiah chapter 55, if we begin reading in verse 7, God says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Okay, now stop for a moment. This is the Old Testament. But what we see here in verse 7, do you believe that God still holds to this principle to this day? I don't mean this to be a trick question. Do you believe that here we are 2,000 years into the New Testament? Do you believe that God would say today, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon"? Yes, sir. You believe that's still the same? Well, yeah, it is. Yes, sir. Even though we read this in the Old Testament, that verse could easily be in a New Testament book. Especially, Philippians or Ephesians or Romans or, wherever. Because that's still true. That hasn't changed. Therefore, if this verse is true and has not changed and would apply to Christians today, how many other verses would be the same? You know, my grandmother, my dad's mom, man, she was a wonderful lady, a Christian. But at least part of her life, and I didn't know this until later on when my mom was explaining it to me, that my grandmother was a part of a denomination that believed in Jesus, but they were, I guess one way to put it would be New Testament only, or New Testament primarily. They really didn't get into the Old Testament very much because they believed, well, we have a new covenant through Jesus Christ, and so therefore we need to focus on that covenant. Well, I understand that. We definitely need to understand that covenant and focus on it. At the same time, you cannot dismiss so much of the Old Testament because it is relevant for us today. Now, I understand concerning, like the law of Moses, where it talks about offering the animals. Well, we don't do that anymore. And the reason we don't is explained in the New Testament because Jesus was the final sacrifice. Now, to be a little odd in saying it, Jesus was the final animal sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Okay? But the concept of offering a blood sacrifice is as relevant today as it was back then. It's just that 2,000 years ago, the sacrifice was offered. So the principle is still the same. It's just that there are no more sacrifices to offer. Jesus was the final sacrifice. So we see here an encouragement in verse 7 for what today we could call repentance. And he says, look, if you'll do this, then I will respond. I'll have mercy upon you and I will abundantly pardon. But then look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, again, what we see here, this is all in the Old Testament. But let's look. Verse 8. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, would that still be true today? We're talking about somebody who, if he wants to, he could create another universe outside of this universe, and we would have no clue. In fact, here's one that'll keep you awake at night. Some people think that maybe God has created other universes, and that maybe people in those universes, whatever Adam and Eve was in those universes, didn't rebel. You say, well, Brother Martin, do you believe that? Well, no, I don't. But what I'm saying is, he's God, and he could if he wanted to. And we would have no idea that these other universes exist. But again, I don't believe that. If it's true and I'm wrong, maybe we'll know about it, or maybe we'll live throughout all eternity and never know about it. You say, Brother Martin, I'd rather sleep tonight. Please don't do this to me. But nevertheless, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, I understand as Christians we have the mind of Christ, but when you're talking about the mindset of pure, absolute deity and the mindset of non-absolute deity, are his ways and thoughts still higher than ours? Well, sure they are. Absolutely. And then he begins giving a description. He says, look, I'm going to use something that you can relate to in your realm. As the rain comes down and the snow, it falls from heaven and returns not thither, but what it does is water the earth, and it makes the earth to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In the same way, my word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay. Once again, this is Old Testament, but is that verse as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago? And I mean way over 2,000 years ago. Absolutely. So what we see then are some principles that apply to us today that we cannot dismiss. All right, now, look at this. God says, his word that goes forth out of his mouth, it will not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. All right, now, here we have the Bible. Now, we know that the Bible came forth from the mouth of God. Therefore, if he says that his word that has gone forth from his mouth will not return to him void, but it will accomplish, notice how he says that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That means it doesn't matter how old this book is, his word won't return void. It still has life, it still has power, and it still is accomplishing what he sent it forth to accomplish. All right. Now let's think of something. Let me give you kind of an abstract illustration. Kathy and I met on Friday night, July 3rd, 1981. And we were immediately attracted to each other. Well, as time went on, you know, we were dating and so forth, and then the day came where we decided we wanted to get married. But even if we decided we wanted to get married, what if we had never communicated that with each other? What if we had never expressed, I love you, and yes, let's get married? What if we had never expressed that? Even though on the inside of us, that's what we wanted. Would we have gotten married? No, wouldn't have happened. Now here's what I'm getting at. We both had to come into agreement with this whole thing of, I love you, and yes, let's get married, before we got married. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now God has given us His Word. He's saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But I'm going to do the best I can to help you get a hold of this. Who I am and what I want. I'm to work through some people, about 35 people total. We're going to give you a book that's going to cover thousands of years. And repeatedly, over all those centuries, I'm going to continue to declare my thoughts and my will. Now, if you will find out what I have said, and then come into agreement with it, then it will produce in your life what I've sent it forth to produce. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, here's another example. Jesus said you must be born again. And then he talked about, here's how to get born again. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when He said, you must be born again, and you must believe in the Son to be born again, do you realize that passage is not saying you can be physically healed? Do you understand that? I'm not trying to trick you or anything. I'm just saying when Jesus said you must be born again, he didn't say you could be healed as well. He said you must be born again. But in another place, we see where Jesus ministered to a whole bunch of people, and then God says that it should be fulfilled. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Okay, now I have some word that's not about being born again, but it is about my body being healed. Because when I read that about, and He healed all these people, and that it should be fulfilled, you know, He took our sicknesses and, bore our infirmities and all that. When I read that, I don't see anything in that about getting born again. Are you following me? But what I do see is I can be healed. And that He did something for me so that I could be physically healed. So now I can go to John 3 and find out about being born again. And when I come into agreement with John 3, then the purpose for John 3 about being born again becomes activated in my life. Now, if I never read John 3, if I read the Bible, but I never read anything about being born again, it doesn't change the fact that the Word is still out there. It's still there. But I've got to find out what it says. I have to discover the born again part of what God has said so that I can come into agreement with the part about being born again and then be born again. You get this? I hope this is making sense to you. Because some of you, I see the wheels turning and you're like, what? If you don't know it, you don't know. That's like the guy, he walks back into the hardware store. He takes a chainsaw and bam, puts it back on the counter and he said, I want my money back. And the owner says, well, wow, what's wrong with it? He said, this thing, you told me I could cut down five times as many trees in an hour as what I used to with my old handsaw. And you said this thing was good. He said, this thing ain't worth nothing. He said, it takes me longer to cut down a tree with this than it does my old saw. And the owner says, well, I don't know what the problem is. The forest, it's brand new. The guy says, it's not worth anything. Well, the owner reaches down and grabs a hold of it and boom, boom, and that guy jumps back and says, what in the world is that? See, the guy didn't know you could turn the thing on. He's out there with a chainsaw trying to hack the tree down without ever starting it. He didn't know. All right, that's the same thing for us. If you don't know what's in here, you don't know what part of God's word won't return void. You get this? This is part of the reason why over there in Timothy says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. So you can read all kinds of things in the Bible, but if you never turn to the pages that tell you about being born again, well, you don't know. If you don't find the pages in here that talk about that God loves you with an everlasting love, then you don't, for all you know, he doesn't like you very much. If you don't find the pages that talk about how he'll bless you, then you may think he just wants you to have nothing and struggle and be hungry and starving and all. If you don't know what he said, then you don't know what part of his word can be active in your life and produce. Look, notice what he says at the end of verse 11. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So his word about, when he sent his word about being born again, then that word about born again prospers into being born again for us. When he sent his word about healing, then that word, he sent it whereto for healing. You follow this? So then I need to find out what's in here. I need to find out what won't return void for me. Because until I do, it's there. It'll work. But I don't know it. All right, look over in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. And let's just look at one verse here. Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, how many of you knew that was in there? Well, I'm sure a bunch of you did. But what if you didn't? What if you did not know that was in there? And you're sitting around, oh, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I just wish I knew how God wanted me to go, or what. I just wish I had direction for my life from God. And yet here it is. Look here. Look at that. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God says you'll hear. Okay? I acted upon John 3 to be born again. I called upon the name of the Lord. I believed in Jesus. I got born again. So now, when I lift my hands and I praise God, you know, Jesus, I thank you that I'm born again. Jesus, I thank you for saving me. What am I doing? I am responding to what the Word did to me when I acted upon that declaration of God. I am acknowledging that I know His Word enriched me spiritually. If that even helps you understand this. Okay, but look at this one. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now don't anybody raise your hand. Just kind of give me the blank stares you've been giving me all night here, okay? Just I'm just joking with you. All right, when's the last time that you said anything to God about your ears hearing His word giving you direction? Follow me? When's the last time you did that? Well, Brother Martin, I don't know that I ever have. Okay, we're learning something then. I thank you, Father, that by your stripes, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. All right. Well, what I'm doing now, I'm acknowledging what he said, his word about my healing. I'm acknowledging that. So what I'm activating it so that the word can make manifest healing in my body. Okay, but look at this. Your ears shall hear a word. Now, God is saying your ears shall hear a word. When's the last time you said, Father, I thank you, my ears hear your word. And I know what I should do. I thank you for sending your word to seal my direction. My ears hear the word behind me. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, walking through the grocery store and you're going to hear, Mary, Mary, and you're going to turn around like, what? Okay, he's talking about a spiritual experience with God. Now, granted, he could speak out loud to you. But he says, you shall hear a word. Father, I thank you that I hear this word, and it will not return void. I thank you that I hear your word concerning my direction for life. I thank you for this. Look over in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Yeah, these verses, you should be writing them down. Remember earlier I said pen, write something on. Okay, these verses. The first one was Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 11. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier. And then the second one was Isaiah 30, verse 21. Now, the reason I want you to write these down is so you can go back and take a look at them and begin, I'll say it like this, activating that word in your life. So here we have Isaiah 45, verses 2 and 3. God says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now I understand, well, back up to verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee. And then he goes into the crooked places, so on and so forth. So this prophecy was to a king that wasn't even born yet. Isaiah prophesied this about 150 years before Cyrus was born. This is one of the most powerful prophecies in all of Scripture. But, now think about this. In verses 2 and 3, I'm going to go before thee. I'll make the crooked places straight, break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. What does that mean? The things that are holding you back. The things of the enemy. You know, the barriers that the enemy has raised up to hold me back. God says, you know what? I'm going to tear that stuff down. I'll go before you. He says, I'll give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. Now stop right there and think about this. When it comes to the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, now just think to yourself for a moment, what does that mean to you? What to you would be the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places? Well, each one of you in here might come out with a different concept or definition, or you might all come up with the same thing. Let me share with you what I see in here. I will give to thee, now I'm going to paraphrase, okay? I will give to thee the understanding of the treasures of my word that right now appear to be darkness to you. You see what I'm saying there? The hidden riches of secret places. To remember, Jesus actually, he didn't talk about this prophecy, but what he did say was that the things hidden, you know, are going to be made known? Okay, and he's talking about a revelation of God's word and understanding of Scripture. So therefore, for me, verse 3, okay, yeah, great. You know, treasures, money, okay, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, I'll bring it on. My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme. But what I see in here, what would mean the most to me, is to come to the full comprehension of everything that God has written in His Word. That would mean more to me than all the gold anywhere. And He says, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now let's take a look here. I know, Old Testament, but are you telling me that Cyrus was the only person in all of history that God would go before? Absolutely not. What about this? Make the crooked places straight. In other words, you know, here you are going through like an obstacle course. I'm going to remove the obstacles in the obstacle course. It won't be a windy... You know, have you ever been on those roads? I remember Kathy and I one year, we're out in Colorado, and we had rented a car. We decided we wanted to go to the top of Pikes Peak. So we start driving up, and you know, you're driving around this mountain, and it's one lane up and one lane coming down, and there are no guardrails. So here I am driving this car at this angle, and all I can see is hood and sky. That's it. And I kid you not, my knuckles, there was no blood left. They were white. I'm gripping the steering wheel. I made an impression on that steering wheel. And every now and then, Kathy would say, oh, look at this over here. I'm not looking anywhere. And there were times I'm looking at the road, the other lane, to understand how to move the steering wheel. Okay? You can't go fast on a road like that. But here, God is saying, I'm going to straighten that road for you. I remember one time, years ago, I'm helping out in Vacation Bible School. I was, I don't know, 16, 17. And I was part of the bus team. We had several buses at our church. And our bus would go out every morning, pick kids up from the neighborhood and bring them for Vacation Bible School, and then take them back. Well, this one road, we had to drive on a section of Ron Road. If you've ever driven on that road, I mean, man, that thing is windy, windy, windy. And the guy driving the bus says, man, I'm telling you, we'd straighten these roads out if we were on my motorcycle. Well, I knew what he meant. You wouldn't have to go at a snail's pace with a big old school bus, you know, going around these corners. On a motorcycle, be zoom, zoom, zoom. And God is saying, I will straighten out the crooked places for you. Well, you think Cyrus is the only person he'd do that for? And then he says, breaking down the gates of brass and the bars of iron, the obstacles, you think Cyrus is the only one he'd do that? And the verse 3, the results, I'll give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret place. And that, look here, verse 3, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name. You think Cyrus is the only person that gets called by name? You don't think he calls you by name? Listen, I'm telling you right now, you get in there and you spend enough time with God, and the day's going to come, you're going to hear Him call you by name. You'll hear it. He'll talk to you like you're real. And He says, it brings about a confirmation. Okay, now, how many of us have ever looked at this that way? Father, I thank You so much, God, that You go before me. You make the crooked places straight for me. And You tear down the gates of brass and the bars of iron that the enemy would raise up to try to hinder me from going forward. And You give me the treasures of darkness. For me, you know, You give me the understanding of every aspect of Your Word. And You call me by name. And I hear You call me by name. And I know more than ever that You are the God of my salvation. Okay, you know what I've just done? I've been activating that declaration of God for my life. How many of us need to do this? What I'm sharing with you right now, I'm telling you, this is absolutely a key to a breakthrough with God. Because when you begin to understand what He has said, and you begin to appropriate it into your life, because again, if you don't know what's in here, how do you know what He'll do? Well, the preacher said what he'd do. Okay, that's a good start. But if you don't get into His Word, this is His Word. And if a preacher's smart, he'll use God's Word. But this is God's word, see? This is what you need. Look over in Psalm chapter 3. Now, we looked at this one on Sunday for a different reason. But in Psalm chapter 3, you know, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise against me. Well, there are times we go through life and it just seems like the problems are increasing. And he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And guys, let's just be flat out honest here. There are times when it almost seems like our problems are telling us, you're never going to get out of this. It's never going to be resolved. But, look here, verse 3. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. You know, you start meditating on something like this, you make this your declaration. God is saying, God from heaven has released this word so that we could take this word and make it a declaration. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory and you are the lifter up of mine head. And now what I'm doing is I'm putting this word to work in my life. Verse 4, Lord, I cry unto you with my voice, and you hear me out of your holy hill. Oh, I just don't know if God hears me when I pray. Here's your answer, right here. Here it is. I lay down and I sleep, and I awake because you, Lord, sustain me. You support me. You give me good sleep at night. I will not be afraid of 10,000 problems that try to circle me and give me a hard time. I will not be afraid of this, Lord. I won't. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, you have smitten all these problems on the cheekbone and you've broken the teeth of the ungodly. In other words, these problems are not going to sink their teeth into me and hurt me. They might gum on me a little bit, but they're not going to hurt me. And then, salvation belongs to you, O Lord, and your blessing is upon me. See, a lot of times people say, well, I just don't know how to pray. Here you go. Just make these declarations in your prayer time. And when you do this, you're coming into agreement with God and what He has said. And this goes on into chapter 4. It's the same concept. You know, God, you hear me when I call. You're the God of my righteousness. And you have enlarged me when I was in distress. You made me bigger than my problems that I've been facing. And you have mercy upon me, and you do hear my prayer. And you go through here, and you begin to see these promises. You know, verse 3, look at this. I know, Lord, that you've set me apart because I am godly. You've made me godly. You set me apart for yourself, and you hear me when I call. Guys, this is the word of God. And the more that we do this, is the more that it reinforces to us our position in Christ. Look over in, now I won't continue on in Psalm 4, but look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look what the Apostle Paul writes. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now look at this. What he's not saying is, I'm looking for more trouble. He's not saying I'm looking for more problems in life. What he's saying is, when it happens, then I am going to rejoice in the midst of it because when I'm weak, His strength becomes my strength and I don't have to face it on my own. And where God made this declaration in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you realize that declaration wasn't just for the Apostle Paul? That his grace is sufficient. Look, if you want to start tapping into God's strength for everything you face in life, and I don't care what it is, you make this one of your most prominent declarations in your life. When, no matter what goes on, you just make this declaration, God, your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me. I acknowledge my weakness in myself, but your grace is the strength strengthening me, and it is sufficient for me in this, whatever it is. Start doing this. Start making this declaration. I'm telling you, this, what I'm sharing with you tonight, guys, this will change your life. And you'll start living every day with more confidence in God and who you are than you ever have before. Look over in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. There's so many Christians that need this. So many that need this. Because you start doing this, and you're going to stop worrying about stuff. You're going to stop, things won't get to you the way that they used to. Your life will be different. Here in Psalm 23, look at this. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Man, you could stop right there and go no further. That's it. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, what shall you not want? Doesn't matter. I shall not want. Doesn't matter what it is. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. There's another one you ought to make as a primary declaration of your life. Lord, you're my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You make me to lie down in peace every night. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and the valley of the shadow of problems at times, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It kind of makes a difference. Here's part of the problem with a sermon like this. A lot of Christians will hear it and think, well, that was nice. And it won't change a thing. Because they won't do this. Now, if you want change, you will do what I'm showing you in the Word. And this doesn't mean that, you know, every day you got to spend hours going through here. But what I'm saying is, when you're reading the Bible and you see where God's made some kind of a declaration, like I'll make the crooked way straight. When you're reading your Bible and you see things like that, man, you can stop right then and say, okay, that is for me. This is for me. And you, right then, that moment, you can take 15, 20 seconds and turn it into a personal declaration for yourself. And when you do this, then what happens is the purpose for that word that God sent, it begins to work in your life. Look over in look in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best psalms in all of Psalms. Now listen to this. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You say, well, what if I don't? Then do. Let me clarify this. You get alone with God. What does that mean to you? Bedroom, living room, kitchen, bathroom, garage, basement, attic, I don't know. Having to come here to the church to be alone, whatever. You get alone, and you just, before you start, you just get your mind focused on the Lord. Because see, when you do that, and you make this declaration, I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You are, with your declaration, creating, if you will, the habitation of God for this experience. Lord, I say of you, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, and in you I trust. You deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I trust. Your truth is my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I will not be afraid of anything that the enemy sends my way, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you, Lord, my refuge, and the Most High, you are my habitation. No evil befalls me. No plague comes near my dwelling. You give your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon I trample under feet. In other words, all demonic powers, all demons, all devils are under my feet, and I trample them under my feet. I set my love upon you, and therefore I know you deliver me. I know that you set me on high, because I know your name. I call upon you, and you answer me. You are with me in trouble. You deliver me, and you honor me. And with long life you satisfy me, and you show me your salvation. See, the more you start doing this,
well, do you do this every day?
No, not the way I've just described to you. But there'll be times when I start saying things like this. Maybe driving down the road, I'll just say something along these lines. The point I'm making is, if you don't know it's in here, then you don't know what word God has sent to be profitable in your life. Let's just imagine this is the first time you've ever seen Psalm 91. And as I'm reading through this, all of a sudden, you know, revelation is coming. It's like, wow, yeah, I never seen this, but I also never thought of it like that. Or maybe you've seen Psalm 91 before, but you saw it from a detached position. In other words, well, David wrote that. Boy, I tell you what, that's really great for David. I'm so happy for him. Boy, this is wonderful. But when you read this, and you begin to personalize it, and you understand God didn't speak this just for David. He spoke this for you. He spoke this for me. His word has gone forth, and now here it is. It is just waiting for us to appropriate it into our lives. And the more that we do this, the more that God's word can produce what he sent it forth to produce. And really, what I'm sharing with you, it's like God has, in his word, literally given us the prayers that we should pray. Because what I just did here with Psalm 91, really, that was a prayer. Father, this is who you are to me, and I thank you so much. I praise you. Prayer isn't simply a matter of you going to God and begging for everything. Prayer is interaction with God. And what I just showed you are examples in Scripture on how to have this interaction. And again, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, have the Bible memorized and what have you, but if you don't get into the Word and find these things out, then you don't understand how He'll make the crooked places straight. How that you can hide under the shadow of His wings. How that He prepares a table before you. How He will unlock the hidden mysteries of His Word. If you don't get in here, you don't know it. But when you get in here and you begin to see it, and then you begin to declare it and appropriate it to your life, it begins to work. It happens. Guys, get into the Word. The entrance of God's Word, it gives light, it gives understanding to those who don't have the understanding. His Word will not return to Him void. It works after all these years. It still works. I mean, hey, think about it. If it still works for born again, it still works for everything else. Praise the Lord.